Hi, everyone.
Hi, guys, gals, pals, and ghouls.
Welcome to Wicked, Weird, and Grim, your number one podcast for a trip through the history of the odd, haunting, and mystifying. I'm Caroline.
And I'm Aura. Together, we're the Grimm sisters.
Today, we're covering a really famous topic, the Mothman.
We decided to cover this today because moths like lights, and it's the holiday season. So we somehow put the Mothman and holiday lights together, and it made sense in our heads. Also, we thought that you all deserved a holiday present, and since you guys have been requesting the Mothman for quite some time, we decided to finally bite the bullet and do this really famous tale. Our strange tale begins in 1966 in Point Pleasant. Though there's possible sightings of the Mothman or similar creatures dating back hundreds or maybe even thousands of years.
On November 12th, 1966, five men saw what appeared to be a brown, human-like figure flying over their heads. In general, this would be, you know, a very freaky thing to see, but this first sighting actually happened in a cemetery because these five men were grave diggers.
So imagine with us that you're doing this already creepy job in the middle of the night, and overhead you see what literally looks like a flying monster. Obviously, these men are really freaked out, which, same. And they didn't come forward with their sighting until other people began to report seeing the same thing, which I wouldn't either.
For real, I'd be like, nobody will ever believe this.
I'm and on that LSD. Really
And that leads us to the most famous sighting of the Mothman. This particular incident is often cited as the very first sighting, partly because it's so dramatic and partly because some of the people involved have just been interviewed so many times.
So two couples, Roger and Linda Scarberry, and their friends Steve and Mary Millette, were driving home from what locals call, quote, the TNT area.
If you're not familiar with the Mothman story, you may be wondering, what on earth is a TNT area?
The TNT area is a series of old military bunkers right outside of Point Pleasant. These bunkers were once used to store explosives like TNT. And once the site was abandoned by the military, it fell into ruin and disrepair. And it actually became, per usual, a popular spot for teenagers who wanted to make out, do drugs, wouldn't, you know, anything else they didn't want their parents to see. And the bunkers are covered in graffiti and look super spooky.
I think the appeal was way more than just wanting to escape from adults, too. Like, I would totally have been drawn to a place like this as a teenager, and I was the most innocent, clean-cut, never did a single thing wrong kid ever. But I totally would have gone to the TNT area just to explore the creepy old ruins. And in fact, I've been to a place that's kind of similar, but it's just more well kept up. So whenever I was in high school, I was really active in my church, and every summer we would go to this summer camp called Caswell, and it actually is on the site of what used to be like a military fort. And so the fort's history goes back all the way to like the Civil War. So there are forts on this property from the Civil War leading all the way up to like World War II, and you can explore them. And some of them are really, really spooky. Some of them are just cool, but some of them are super spooky. It's like, as soon as you go in past the entrance, you can't see anything if you don't have a flashlight. And some of them were the kind of places where we as like teenagers weren't allowed to go without adults because it was dangerous. So having explored places like this, I just completely understand the appeal. Like, these places are very cool and very like spooky, and just, you know, you feel like you're in like Indiana Jones or the Goonies or something like that.
I'm pretty sure that if we had grown up there, we definitely would have gone.
Oh, 100%.
So anyways, it's unclear why the Scarberries and the Millettes were at the TNT area. Sometimes it's reported that they were there to make out, but it's kind of weird because both these couples were married. They didn't need to go to some secret make-out spot. And why would they be doing that with another couple? So Carol and I think maybe they were just curious about what the TNT area was like, or wanted a little bit of a thrill. Even before the Mothman sightings, people thought the area was super creepy. So maybe they were just looking to get scared.
If that's what they were looking for, they definitely got it. The group spotted what they described as a 6 to 7 foot tall, white creature with bright red, glowing eyes and enormous wings standing on the side of the road. They were immediately terrified, as anyone would be, And Roger Scarberry slammed on the gas and tried to get away from the creature, but the creature followed them.
Ah, that's so terrifying. Okay.
Right.
Linda Scarberry has spoken to the press many times and always describes the incident the same way. Roger was forced to drive at top speeds to escape the creature, which eventually backed off. But Linda says that the creature flew at speeds of about 100 miles per hour because they were gunning it.
Yeah, they were really gunning it. And they were all like screaming and stuff. So it was kind of chaotic.
I can just picture just looking out the window behind you, seeing this thing flying towards you. It's so creepy. I don't like it.
So creepy, right? It's not good. The group immediately reported their sighting to the police because they're like, oh my gosh, what did we just see? This thing is going to kill someone, right? They're freaking out.
A pterodactyl.
And literally, they're describing it as, quote, a bird or something, end quote. And they said that it, quote, definitely wasn't a flying saucer, end quote. The police dismissed
the I love the differentiation.
Yeah, I know. They were like, just to be clear, we did not see a UFO.
Not aliens. Police,
it was living being. The police dismissed the sighting as a type of bird called a shitepoke, which is apparently a common name for, like, a bunch of different types of herons.
That's really funny. Okay, so the news of the Scarberry Mallette sighting spread through Point Pleasant quite quickly and eventually all the way around West Virginia. And experts on wildlife attempted to explain what the creature may have been. Dr. Robert L. Smith, a then professor of wildlife biology at West Virginia University, believed the creature was a sandhill crane. To this day, the, quote, sandhill crane theory, end quote, is still debated.
Sandhill cranes are not formally found in the area of Point Pleasant, but it's possible one could have somehow ended up there accidentally. Like, maybe it was on migration south and it just kind of got lost or something like that. These birds are around 6 feet tall, have a wingspan upwards of 7 feet, and have reddish circles of flesh around their eyes. And I even added a picture. So we'll post that on our Instagram, obviously.
Oh, yeah. But here it does look vaguely Mothman-like.
Yeah. It, like, also, too, when it's flying, it, I don't know, like, to me, it definitely is like, oh, that's obviously a bird, but the way that its little legs, you know, like, its little legs hang out behind it when it flies, I could definitely see somebody thinking that that was a little moth-like. Just, you know, how some moths have like wings that have those little, I don't know what they're called, but like little I don't know, I don't know what I'm trying to say, guys, but moths.
The weirdest thing though is that I don't think these cranes can fly upwards of 100 miles per hour.
Exactly. I don't think they're that fast. So I don't know.
Although I imagine if you have this type of crane flying towards you, it's just as terrifying.
It's terrifying, yeah. I mean, like, it's one of those things. It's kind of like if you ever see like an emu or an ostrich. They're not supposed to be that big. They just aren't. Okay, and this one can fly.
Caroline's like, making the definitive statement.
Yeah, that would be really scary. I have a bad history with birds. Okay, like, me and birds aren't friends.
Don't we all? They're terrifying. So after this Scarberry Mallette sighting, more sightings came pouring in to the local newspapers in Point Pleasant. And I think it was probably because now that, you know, people had made the approach to the police and actually said what they had experienced, other people came out of the woodwork and were like, yeah, this happened to me. I don't feel like an idiot reporting it.
Yeah, there's tons of sightings.
So
like
two
that.
Firemen. Yeah. So two firemen reported seeing, quote, a large bird with red eyes, end quote. A local contractor, Newell Partridge, aimed his flashlight at a creature in a field and said its eyes, quote, glowed like bicycle reflectors, end quote. Quote. Oops.
To be fair, that's not a weird thing for animal eyes to do, but, I mean, like, my cat's eyes do that. But, okay.
Still creepy.
Yeah, for sure. Newell also claimed that there was a strange buzzing sound coming out of his television, and he, for some reason, blamed this on the Mothman creature. He also claimed that the creature had taken his German Shepherd, which is actually very scary and upsetting.
That's a big dog.
Like, I know, right? It's huge.
That's crazy. Okay.
Yeah.
Initially, the creature was called the Birdman or the Big Bird, of course, because all of these sightings related to a bird. And Linda Scarberry still sometimes refers to it this way in interviews, but eventually newspapers began calling it the Mothman, after a villain from the Batman comics.
As sightings continued around town, people began to theorize about what the creature actually was. Some people believed, like the police, that it was some sort of heron. Some agreed with Dr. Smith from West Virginia University that it was a sandhill crane. And perhaps, you know, one of, like I said earlier, like one of these cranes had just gotten lost on its flight south for winter and was now wreaking havoc around Point Pleasant. And some people suggested that it could have been an owl, though neither of us have ever seen or heard of an owl that stands 6 to 7 feet tall.
And we were just discussing before the episode started about the owl man who was spotted in Cornwall, I believe. Caroline, I think you mentioned it a few episodes back, too. I think it was the one with Shatoma, because we were talking about the owl creature. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's definitely a common occurrence of having creatures like these appear. But the thing is, every time people are like, what the hell is it?
Yeah. And I mean, every single time you also see the comparisons are really similar. Like people always call like an owl or, you know, some other type of large bird, because usually it's described as having such a huge wingspan. So, yeah.
So inevitably, some people suggested that the Mothman was something else entirely. Perhaps it was a normal bird that had been contaminated by toxic waste in the TNT area. After all, the area surrounding the TNT bunkers was a wildlife preserve, so there were a ton of animals there that could have been negatively affected as well.
And some believe that it was some sort of alien. Around the same time, this part of West Virginia was full of UFO sightings and other sort of related phenomenon, like the Men in Black. In fact, a journalist and eventual ufologist, John Keel, he covered the Mothman sightings extensively and wrote a book called The Mothman Prophecies. And in this book, he covered like just tons of like weird things going on in this part of West Virginia. So he talked about like UFO and alien phenomenon and like the Men in Black and just all of that kind of stuff. And he tied all of it together with the Mothman, because there were a lot of people who supposedly saw the Mothman and then they had encounters with the Men in Black, or people who saw UFOs and then saw the Mothman, weird things like that.
It's all connected.
It is.
So over the next year, the Mothman was sighted many times in this area. And some people who covered the case at the time or have seriously researched it in the decades since believe there were actually hundreds more sightings that never got reported. And whatever people were seeing, whether it was, you know, this kind of heron, a sandhill crane, or something completely unknown, they truly were seeing something.
Yeah. Like, I think there definitely were instances where people just made stuff up to get attention or whatever. I feel like that's inevitable with something like this that, you know, is so heavily reported on in your area. But there definitely are people that were actually scared of whatever they saw. Like, for example, the Millettes or the Scarberries, like they really were afraid. And the Mothman was kind of just a local mystery, a you know, creature of unknown origin and species flying around town and occasionally scaring innocent people and, you know, maybe carrying off some dogs and livestock. And while all of that is scary and concerning, I think that had some of the things that happened next never happened, the Mothman would have just kind of stayed the way that most small town monsters in America stay, right? Like lots of towns have a local legend similar to the Mothman, you know, some creature pops up and scares everybody for a few months and then it never gets sighted again or whatever. And, you know, it's like, if what happened next hadn't happened, perhaps these sightings would have eventually just sort of faded into urban legends and folklore.
But that isn't what happened. So even people who aren't into unsolved mysteries and cryptids have at least heard of the Mothman, and that's because of this creature's association with the collapse of Silver Bridge.
On December 15th, 1967, so about a year after the Mothman sightings really got started, the Silver Bridge collapsed during rush hour traffic. This bridge connected Point Pleasant with Gallipolis, Ohio, and 46 people died in the collapse, which really plummeted cars straight into the Ohio River, which was, of course, freezing cold. It was December.
So this tragedy had an enormous impact, of course, on both Point Pleasant and Gallipolis, but was especially felt in the much smaller town of Point Pleasant. As this disaster struck right around Christmas time, many victims and survivors of the collapse had been Christmas shopping. And, oh, this is sad, Christmas presents were found floating in the river alongside cars and other personal items.
And that comes back later. Soon after the bridge collapsed, people began to actually that comes back right now. Soon after the bridge collapsed, people began to report strange events that sort of led up to the disaster, things that they thought were weird or maybe were concerned by, but had no explanation for it or couldn't really put the pieces together of like what it meant. But now that the bridge collapsed, they were like, oh, okay, this is what was going on. For example, one woman claimed to have a reoccurring nightmare in the days leading up to December 15th. In this nightmare, she would see nothing but beautifully wrapped Christmas presents floating in the icy Ohio River. And that's exactly what happened when the bridge collapsed.
That's so scary, like knowing what you dreamed or thought about or, you know, came into fruition. That's horrible.
Yeah, it's super creepy.
So as documented in John Keel's book, some residents of Point Pleasant also claimed to receive strange phone calls in the middle of the night in the weeks before the Silver Bridge collapse. UFO sightings, visits from men in black, and other odd happenings like we kind of mentioned, seem to have swirled around Point Pleasant in late November and early December 1967.
And of course, the most infamous of all of the strange things surrounding the Silver Bridge collapse. Multiple people in Point Pleasant claimed to see the Mothman standing atop the Silver Bridge or flying around the bridge on December 15th and the days right before that. And December 15th, like that's the day the bridge collapsed.
Yeah, it's crazy. Anyways, this led many to believe that the Mothman was some sort of harbinger of doom. This particular theory is believed by many people around the world as sightings of Mothman-like creatures seem to occur right before various disasters.
Yeah, and actually, I just wanted to add this, but I remember watching a documentary a long time ago about the Mothman, and there was this guy being interviewed, and he talked about how at the time right before the Silver Bridge collapsed, there was just this weird sort of like feeling or like energy or vibe in town that a lot of people felt that something bad was going to happen. It was just this weird, ominous feeling. And, you know, that could have been caused by a lot of things. Like, I think the Mothman sightings and all of that kind of stuff, that was leaving people a little bit on edge. So it could have just been that, you know, it could have just been a feeling that he personally had that wasn't felt by the majority of people. You know, it's a variety of things. It's also something that in the aftermath of the disaster, people could have said, oh, I just knew something terrible was going to happen. But that's not really how they were feeling. They just want to talk about the event somehow or make themselves part of it. I don't know. But I do just think that that is a really freaky thing, you know, feeling that there is something terrible going to happen and then it does. And it seems like that really was something some people felt. So definitely really adds credibility to that harbinger of doom theory. And so creatures like the Mothman are sighted before disasters a lot. For example, in the weeks leading up to the Chernobyl disaster, which was the worst nuclear disaster in history, a strange flying creature was spotted over Pripyat, the town that's closest to Chernobyl and is now completely abandoned. This creature was nicknamed, quote, the Black Bird of Chernobyl. But its similarities to the Mothman are pretty obvious. It's like a flying humanoid creature spotted in the time leading up to a major disaster. That's the Mothman.
I never knew that about Chernobyl.
Yeah, it's really freaky.
So the Mothman, or a similar creature, was also spotted before the 9/11 terrorist attacks on the World Trade Center, before the 2007 Interstate 35 collapse in Minnesota, and before a swine flu outbreak in Mexico in 2009.
To this day, people in Point Pleasant occasionally claim to see the Mothman, usually around the TNT area, which is still abandoned, of course. And every year, Point Pleasant has a Mothman festival, like literally a whole festival in honor of this mothy monster. There's a statue of the... I really want to go to that festival, by the way. It sounds really fun.
Yeah, we should.
We should. It's not very far either. It's just like a drive from us, probably.
I think Trump endorsed it on Twitter.
That's really concerning. Maybe I don't want to go. There's also a statue of the Mothman in the center of Point Pleasant, but I think the artist might have taken some creative liberties with the design because this Mothman is ripped. Like, ripped, you guys. Like, look at his abs.
When I was looking up Mothman pictures, all I can find were the book covers, kind of like the one of our friends is reading, but Kidnapped by Krampus, but it was like manhandled by the Mothman or something, and he was ripped there too.
I kind of want to read that.
We should just read these horrible books. We should start a book club of
we should
cryptid books.
We could do it. Maybe that can be our Patreon, like, extra episode.
We yeah, do or not. Do an episode of reading some of these books out loud.
Yeah, just excerpts.
Okay, but yeah, he's totally ripped.
Yeah.
What I was thinking throughout this whole time, when we're saying, like, Mothmen as harbingers of doom, I was almost wondering, because they're vaguely humanoid, they fly, what if it's, like, our minds are saying it's a moth, but it's actually more closely related to the biblical angel? And it's happening because all of these horrible things are happening, and, like, an angel is there first to herald it or whatever they're supposed to do.
Maybe.
Because we all know biblical angels look nothing like how we imagine them to look.
Like, absolutely terrifying. Or maybe it's like a demon and it's like causing the collapses or whatever, causing the bad things to happen.
Maybe. I especially just thought it was funny if this whole time it's just been an angel and we're like, what is this moth-like creature?
the angel just keeps showing up and just repeatedly is just like, I swear, if these people don't realize what I am this time, I'm going to be so mad.
He's like, at this point, these people deserve to die. They're so stupid. Yeah.
Sounds like people, honestly.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, what do you think the Mothman is? Do you think it's like actually a Mothman? Do you think it's the angel theory? Do you think it's a crane or a heron or an owl or something else?
I don't know. The fact that it's kind of correlated with all of these other sightings, Men in Black, alien, UFO, I wonder if it's some type of alien type creature that maybe precedes or even comes after other spottings or sightings for some reason. Either it's a lookout or a scout or something like that. I don't know. I don't think it's a crane or a bird.
No.
I feel like we have to give ourselves a little more credit than that.
Especially the owl thing. It is not an owl. That's absurd.
Yeah. I feel like people typically try to rationalize crazy things they see immediately to be the most rational explanation, you know? And of course, thinking it's a bird for sure. But if you're driving like 100 miles per hour plus in a car with two couples, and this thing is flying after you, I don't know. I feel like if their brains are telling them that's not a bird, when that's like the most likely thing it's supposed to do because of psychological reasons, then I have a feeling it's something else.
Yeah, I feel like the rational, like, skeptical side of me is like, oh yeah, it probably was the sandhill crane. Like, the sandhill crane does kind of look similar, you know, and it would be something nobody in this area had probably seen before, blah, blah, blah. But I like the idea that it is sort of that harbinger of doom, right? So it's something that just manifests right before disaster to warn people or something. I just think that's a really cool idea. I don't know. Like, why was it showing up the way it was? Why wasn't it always at the bridge, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. I was looking online after the sandhill crane. There's this bird that's really disturbing.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about.
I can't remember the name of it. I think it's like
scary AF bird.
Something. Yeah, I don't know, but it looks like a serial killer.
It does, and it has this look in its eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, I found it.
Like a shoe bill.
It looks like something out of Jurassic Park. It's going to eat you. Ew, its beady eyes.
The shoe bill, yeah, or the whale bill. I don't know. I think I'd be pretty terrified if that thing was chasing me. But again, I just don't see.
If that thing was chasing me, I would die on the spot. Like, that's it. That's the end.
Like, you're like, I'm not even running, I'm just like collapsing.
Yeah, I'm just like trying to get away so that I don't ever have to see this thing again.
I was trying to look up how fast cranes could fly, and they typically only fly 30 to 35 miles per hour. It says if they catch a tailwind, they can fly maybe 62 miles per hour, but that's nowhere near 100. Like,
no. And the thing is, like, 60 miles an hour is a pretty usual, like, we all regularly drive 60 miles an hour. Like, that's not an unusual speed. So I feel like you would not confuse that with 100 miles an hour.
No. I mean, they literally have put in multiple accounts. They're like, yeah, we were gunning it. We were booking it. We were pedal to the metal. Like,
Exactly. And like, none of them have had different stories. Like, they all have kind of the same story. So
Have you watched the Mothman Prophecies movie?
I have not. I've never seen it. I've read the plot summary and it just didn't sound that interesting to me, maybe. I don't know.
I kind of want to watch it. It looks horrible, but, you know.
Yeah.
I like watching horror movies that are bad. It makes me happy in some way.
Yeah.
So, guys, that was the tale of the Mothman. So if you're going to be in West Virginia anytime soon, make sure you keep a lookout in the sky. The holiday lights might attract it.
Yes, because it is a moth, so.
So with that, we will do our usual sign-off.
This episode of Wicked, Weird, and Grim was written and produced by me, Caroline.
If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and share. You can find us on all your favorite podcast platforms, as usual. And we'd be especially happy if you gave us a 5-star rating on Spotify and a nice review on Apple Podcasts.
We have all the social medias. Find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Patreon at Wicked Weird and Grim, and on Twitter at Wicked Weird Grim. Join our exclusive Facebook group for behind-the-scenes looks and updates.
Check out our website, courtesy of Wix, at wickedweirdgrim.wixsite.com. Also check out our Redbubble for our Wicked Weird and Grim collection for fair price merch using our username Wicked Weird Grim. And there's a discount right now for holiday purchases and items, so be sure to check that out too.
Ooh, very fun. As always, thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next Wicked Weird Wednesday with the Grimm Sisters. Bye, guys.
Bye.
I waved, even though you can't see me waving because your camera's off.
I know. We're sadly alone today.
Yeah, we are.